I ask you to turn your Bibles to Psalm 139, Psalm 139, page 893 in your Bibles. As I mentioned at the very beginning of the service, there are three omni attributes of God: omniscience, omnipotent, and omnipresent. We're looking at omniscience tonight, and in 2 weeks I'll be back where I am right now to talk about God's omnipresence from the same scripture passage. So just kind of a little preview and invitation 2 weeks from tonight. Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit, when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Skipping a few verses down to verse 23, if you would. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We're looking at several references here in this psalm, but just focusing on verse 6 especially. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Dear friends in Christ, I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 100. Would you like to guess what it is? No, you're wrong. You know, if I allowed all of you to guess, I'm sure all of you would get it wrong. Maybe one of you would stumble on the correct number, but most of you, all of you, in fact, would just be guessing. And if you were to think of a number between 1 and 100, and I were to try to guess what number you're thinking of, I'd just be guessing as well. I'd probably get them all wrong. But there is somebody who knows what number I have in my head. And if you were to select the number between 1 and 100, he would know what number you have selected as well. Wouldn't he? Wouldn't he know what number each of you has in your head? I'm thinking about God's omniscience tonight and invite you to join with me in a study of that attribute of God. God is omniscience. Omniscience is just one of many attributes of God. He is holy and just and pure and immense and all-knowing and all-present and all-powerful and all of those things. God is many things, and one of those things is omniscient. God knows everything. Not just the number that you and I have in our heads. Everything. If I asked you to think of a verse in the Bible, not John 3:16, you know, everybody might think of that right away. No, don't think of anything else. Just pick a book, a chapter, and a verse. And if I were to go up and down the aisles and try to pick what verse or guess what verse you were having in mind, I'd just be guessing as well. I'd probably get them all wrong, wouldn't I? All of them. But again, God would know every one, wouldn't he? Doesn't he know everything? He wouldn't be guessing. He just knows. He knows what's in your mind and mine. I have an encyclopedia here, a biblical encyclopedia. If you just open up one page, how long do you think it would take you to memorize one page? Pretty small print. Pretty small print. If you were able and a good memorizer, it might take you a couple weeks to memorize just one page in this biblical encyclopedia. God has the whole set of encyclopedias memorized from cover to cover, doesn't he? Do you believe that? He knows the name of every animal, bird, fish, insect, tree, flower. He knows exactly how many light years are between the stars and the universe, and there are millions and billions of them out there. As creator, he knows everything about his world. Everything. We sing, "This is my Father's world," because it's true, right? This is his world, and he knows everything about it. He made it. He was there when it came into being. He knows everything that has ever happened as well. The events on every page in every history book, he knows. I mean, he witnessed those events. He was there when they happened. I once heard about a super history buff who supposedly, well, you could give him a date, any date in the last century, and he would immediately know what day of the week it was and what was the major event that happened to the world on that particular date. Now, that's amazing, right? But God's knowledge of history is far greater. He knows the past and the present and the future. He knows how many lives were lost in every war that was fought, how much blood was spilt, and how many tears were shed. He knows exactly how many people are living today. Not just an estimate on the world population calendar. No, he knows how and when each life will end as well. He already knows what the next major invention will be and how many will be sold in the first, second, and third year of its existence and when the last one will be thrown away. He knows everything. Verse 17 in Psalm 139 makes reference to the number of grains of sand. One of our songs mentioned that as well. How many grains of sand exist in the world? No one would be foolish enough to even begin to count a handful. But God knows that number. I think he does. Don't you? He knows the number of cells in your body and what each one is for. He's made them. He knows what they do. When we look at something, we see, you know, one side, like of the pulpit here, maybe two sides, just a few people. But God sees everything, all sides at once, and what's inside as well, including our hearts. He knows everything. He's omniscient. The psalmist admits right here in our scripture lesson that God knows him inside and out. Some of the words of the psalmist here, "You know my sitting down, my rising up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You comprehend my path, my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word on my tongue, but you know it together, altogether." Other versions put it this way: "You know the words I speak before they're even in my mouth." God knows the words I'm going to speak before I know the words I'm going to speak. He knows everything. My thoughts, words, deeds. He knows everything that I've ever done and what I'm going to do. He's heard every word that I've ever spoken. He knows what words I'm going to speak next. He even knows my thoughts from afar up in heaven. He knows what I'm thinking right now. He knows what you're thinking too, my friend, whether you're tuned in or tuned out. You know, when crimes are committed, police are very excited if they can get their hands on some good videotape of the crime scene, right? If you're thinking about committing a crime anytime soon, I would suggest that you look around and see how many cameras there are, first of all. I know there's 7 of them in the bank branch where I do some of my business. 7 cameras just in one bank branch. You know, the eyes of the long arm of the law are everywhere these days. God sees it all without cameras. He knows everything that happens. Everything. Hebrews 4, verse 13 states, "There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." Every detail of our lives is known to him, every fleeting thought, every spoken and unspoken word. There are no secrets with God. The psalmist admits here in verse 12 that darkness and light are both alike to him. We can't hide anything under the cover of darkness. He can see everything. He knows everything. Only God knows everything. Only God is omniscient. Only God. Now, it should be mentioned that none of this is just objective fact. I mean, it's factual, it's true, of course, but it's always more than that, much more. The psalmist expresses divine truth in relational terms. That is, these truths are not just things he knows about God, but these things are true about his relationship with God. He knows these things about God through his own experience. It's personal. God is not just a subject to speculate, but he's a person that we encounter. And these truths about God, including his omniscience, affect our lives every day. God knows us, our every move, our outward actions, our words, our inward thoughts, all the time, our sitting down, our rising up, our lying down and the path I walk, the words on my tongue, all of these come from the psalm, our thoughts. There are times when we might say, I don't know what I was thinking. Well, you might not, but God does, all the time, and all of us. He is acquainted with all our ways, the psalmist says. You know it all together, O Lord. No secrets from God, none at all. Ever since I was, I think, 16 years old, I've been keeping sort of a diary, a journal like this. I could go back, look up any day since I was 16 years old and see what I did on that particular day. Not everything, you know, just kind of the highlights of each particular day. It's all written down. I have stacks of these at home. This one just includes the last 3 years or so. Jill, of course, has orders to destroy these all when I pass, but they still exist. God doesn't need to write it down. He never has to look it up. Never. He knows what happened in my life, too. Every one of these pages is memorized by him. He was there. He was with me. You know it all together, O Lord, the psalmist says. You were there. You remember. Not just me, but all of us, each of us. He remembers all the days of our lives. And he knows what's next, too. Tomorrow, next week, next year. And the number of our days is known to him as well. Everything. We learn some of that from some of those verses in the middle of the psalm. You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I was fearfully and wonderfully made. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. In your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. You knew me, Lord, before I was even conceived, before I was born. You know exactly what day I was to be born. You know exactly which second I would take my first breath. You know when my days will run out too, O Lord. Some people think that all babies look alike. That's not true, right? God doesn't think so either. He sees us all very differently. All of our uniqueness, even our unique potential, is known to God. He knows everything, everything. And his knowledge is relational. It means he knows us. He knows you. He knows me intimately. Wherever we are, whenever, past, present, future, he knows our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. Now, that raises some questions, it seems to me. God's omniscience raises some questions, primarily this one. If God is all-knowing and all-loving and all-powerful, then why? Does he allow disasters to happen, for example? Why does he allow bad things to happen to good people? Why does he stop them? Why doesn't he avert all evil, as it says in one of our liturgical forms? Why does he allow accidents to happen and loved ones to die before their time? Why does he allow people to suffer when he claims to love them, when he's able to do something about it, and when he knows in advance that something terrible is going to happen? Why doesn't he stop it? For example, if I knew you were going to have an automobile accident on your way home from church, what would you do? You'd delay your departure for at least 5 minutes or take a different route home. Why doesn't God do that? Why doesn't he stop those terrible things that are almost to happen? In short, if God is all-knowing, all-powerful, all-loving, why does he allow bad things to happen? We can think about that for a long time, right? Because there probably isn't one answer that can satisfy all those questions, as you well know. In fact, there may not even be a great answer to any of those questions, just simple statements of faith. I trust him, come what may. I don't understand. I simply believe that, among other things, his ways, his thoughts are higher than my, your ways and thoughts. I choose to believe his word and his promise that all things do work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. God is all-knowing, truly he knows everything, but he's also good and will, because he is able, turn evil to good. We might not see it for a long time. We might not see it, in fact, in our lifetime. But his plan will become clear when we get to heaven, if not before. God knows everything. And such knowledge is too wonderful for me, the psalmist says. It is high. I cannot attain it. He knows everything, and he is good. And we need to trust him more and more, especially when his ways and thoughts are higher than ours. Now, I'm wondering, do you think the psalmist, how does the psalmist react to, you know, this admission that he makes in this psalm that God is omniscient? Does he attempt to run away and hide from God? Afraid to be known by God in that way? Does he want to escape God's all-seeing eyes? Some readers of Psalm 139, of course, have drawn that conclusion, a reaction that might not be uncommon among some of today's readers as well. You know, us, in fact. Where can I go from your spirit, the psalmist says, as if he wants to. Where can I flee from your presence? Does the psalmist want to run and hide? Does he think he can? He says, if I ascend up to heaven, you're there. If I go to the depths or take the wings of the morning and flee to the uttermost parts of the sea, you're already there. The psalmist knows what many of us learned in Sunday school. You cannot hide from God, right? His eye is fixed on you. That wasn't a very good tune, but anyway, you get the idea. The psalmist knows that he can't hide from God. He's always watching you. Even if you try to hide or run away, he knows where you are. He knows where you're going. Remember, he knows everything. Day and night, all the same to God. Darkness is no cover at all. No, he knows, the psalmist does, that he can't run and hide. It's impossible. He knows that God's eye will always be on him. And in fact, he welcomes it, I think. He welcomes it. He knows that wherever he goes, God will already be there. He'll meet him there. He welcomes it. If I ascend into heaven, he says, you're already there. If I go to the depths or flee away, you're already there. The greatest reason as to why readers of Psalm 139 ought, I think, to determine that the psalmist welcomes the fact of God's omniscience, we find in the beginning and the end of the psalm. The psalm begins with this: search me. Search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. The psalm begins with this: you have searched me and known me. It ends with, search me, O God, and know my heart. Search me, put me through your x-ray machine, God, and see if there is any way, any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me with your all-seeing eye. Examine me with your omniscience. I welcome that. Show me. Show me what is displeasing. I want to work on that as well. Such an appropriate thought and prayer. We need to hear, I think, the emotion in this psalm. It should appear, even to the casual reader of Psalm 139, that the psalmist is slightly overwhelmed. Overwhelmed as he reflects upon God's omniscience. I like that word. Overwhelmed. Listen again. You are acquainted with all my ways. You understand even my thoughts from afar. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. And then this: such knowledge is just too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. You are omniscient, God. You know everything. That blows my mind. You are incomprehensible. All this is just too much for my small mind to think about. I think the psalmist is overwhelmed. You get that feeling as we read Psalm 139 together? Overwhelmed with awe. And I think his reflection on God's omniscience leads him simply to praise and worship. In spite of the questions that might be swirling in his mind about disasters and pain and death and all of those other things, in fact, just before he shares some of his thoughts with God about his enemies in those verses that we skipped, he exclaims in verse 17, how precious are your thoughts to me, O God? How great is the sum of them? I think he's overwhelmed, as we should be. God's omniscience should lead us to worship. Our thoughts about God's higher thoughts should give rise to praise and awe. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. We join the psalmist in saying those things. It is high, too high for me attain. So I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I will praise you for your omniscience. You know everything, God. The number of stars, including their names. The number of grains of sand. Even the hairs on the top of her head are numbered. When my wife gives me a haircut once a month, she's got to be thinking, boy, this is getting easier and easier. Every animal, bird, fish, insect, tree, flower, leaf, blade of grass, snowflake, every human being, past, present, future, every thought, every unspoken word, he knows everything. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, we say together. It is high. I cannot attain that. So I will praise you. Marvelous are your thoughts, O God. How great is the sum of them. Amazing. Our God is an awesome God. You are too much. Incomprehensible. Something to think about this week. In the middle of your 4th of July celebration, something to think about. Something to inspire you this week. Something to inspire you, overwhelm you every week. God knows everything. He is omniscient. He knows us completely, through and through. He knows. He cares. He knows us completely and loves us anyway. Pray with me. Lord, we are amazed. We stand in awe. You are so worthy of our worship, our praise, our singing, and our living. Thank you, dear Lord, that you have revealed yourself in so many ways. There are so many attributes that we read about in your word. To know you even apart or as a whole, our minds can't comprehend even the beginning of it all, but we stand amazed. And we, with the psalmist, resort to praise, worship, and obedient living. Thank you, Lord. Thank you through Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.